chapter 7, from verse 1. Now remember, we ended last week on the great day of his wrath, remember. So then John says, after this, and that's what he's talking about, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. And after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Well, this is the word of the Lord, and we do thank God for it. Now we hand over.
Thank you, Laurie. As we look at the book of Revelation on a Sunday evening, I'm very mindful that Christians throughout the centuries, Bible-believing Christians, have interpreted this book or this prophecy or this letter in different ways. And it may be that you find yourself disagreeing with me at some particular points. Am I okay with this? Well, let's be frank, I really don't have a lot of choice in the matter, do I? But actually, I am okay if you disagree with me, and I really don't mind if you come up to me after the meeting and tell me where it is that you disagree or see things differently. I hope that I'm not the sort of person who thinks that they have a monopoly on the interpretation of Scripture. I think it's good that we learn in community. Iron sharpens iron. But at the end of the day, I am the one who has been appointed as pastor. I'm the one who gets to do the lion's share, I suppose, of the Bible teaching. And therefore, it's me that you have to listen to. It's me that gets to do the teaching. But even though you may find yourself disagreeing, I hope that you are still finding our studies in Revelation to be of some value. I am endeavouring to apply these chapters to our lives as best as I can in the time given to me. I wonder, do you like watching movies that portray some sort of disaster that threatens part or all of the human race? When I was preparing for this evening, I thought, firstly, of the film Independence Day. I'm sure that some of you have watched it, but for the benefit of those who haven't, it's all about some creatures or some aliens from a far distant place who come to Earth with a view to wiping out all of Earth's inhabitants so that they can claim the Earth's resources for themselves. And of course, it's a battle for human survival. I also thought of the film The Day After Tomorrow, which is really all about a serious change of weather on the Earth that in particular affects the Northern Hemisphere. And in the film, people find themselves freezing to death or struggling desperately to travel south where things are somewhat better. But as you watch these movies, you can't help but think, will these people survive the ordeal? Last Sunday evening, we looked at the opening of the first five seals of the scroll by the Lord Jesus. He was the one worthy of opening the seals. And we saw that all this had a lot to do with the trials and tribulations that come upon Christians throughout the last days. We also looked at the opening of the sixth seal, which of course spoke about the great and awful day of the Lord. Let me remind you of what we read and spoke about in verses 12 to 17 of Revelation chapter 6. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth. And as figs drop from a tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? How shall we survive all of this? The answer is, we shall, in the light of what we read in Revelation chapter 7. I have three headings for this evening's message. Firstly, a holding back. Secondly, a sealing. And then thirdly, a bringing to glory. A holding back, a sealing, and a bringing to glory. Firstly, and very briefly, a holding back. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. What are these four winds? Well, I think they represent all the trials and tribulations about to be unleashed on the earth that we read about in Revelation chapter 6, and especially the day of God's wrath, spoken about in verses 12 to 17. Notice that the angels hold back these four winds until the servants of God have had a seal put on their foreheads. In other words, all these trials and tribulations, as well as the great day of the Lord, does not happen until the servants of God have had a seal put upon their foreheads. Firstly, we have a holding back. Secondly, we have a sealing, verse 2 and 3. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. And we ask the question, what is this sealing all about? Well, I would argue that it has to do with ownership. Ownership. As a family, we travelled to the Isle of Lewis last summer. And as we were driving around, we noticed that there were lots and lots of sheep wandering around the hills and the mountains. So we were told that these sheep belonged to different shepherds. But how did the various shepherds know which sheep belonged to them? The answer is because they had a mark, or we might say a seal, put on them. Each shepherd had his own particular coloured spray, and he would put it on the sheep, so there could be no doubt about who they belonged to. Well, friends, Jesus has bought a people for himself with his own precious blood. But having bought them and made them his own, he has put a seal or a mark on them. And that seal is the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I think that this particular verse ties in brilliantly with what Revelation 7 speaks about. Before we face these trials and tribulations, before we have to face the terrible day of the Lord, a seal, a mark, is put upon the servants of God. And you will see that the number of those sealed amounts to 144,000. And I take this number to be a symbolic number, as opposed to a literal number, that refers to all of God's servants, or all of God's people. This 144,000 is referred to again in chapter 14. There it refers to those who have the Father's name on their foreheads, in other words, to those who belong to him and have been redeemed or purchased from among mankind. This 144,000 is also spoken about in Revelation chapter 22, where it speaks about the throne of God and his servants gathered around it. Let me read to you what it says in Revelation 22. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him.
They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The 144,000, then, are not a particular group of Jews or a select group of believers, as the Jehovah's Witnesses think, but all the servants of God. The total number, if you like, of God's elect. I would argue that the 144,000 mentioned in verse 4 amounts to the same group spoken about in verse 9. The great multitude. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So then, a seal of ownership is put on God's people so that they are not harmed by the four winds or by the trials and difficulties that come upon the earth. And, of course, all that happens on the day of the Lamb's wrath. Now, this doesn't mean that God's servants or God's people escape persecution and death. We've already seen in our studies on the book of Revelation that in the last days God's people can expect to face persecution and even death. We've made quite a bit of reference to the martyrs. What it means is that they cannot ultimately be harmed, because eternal life is theirs. And they will all be brought safely to heaven. And we shouldn't be surprised to read this in view of Jesus' words in John chapter 6. Let me read these words to you. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." We've had a seal, brothers and sisters, put on us. And it guarantees the well-being of our soul. Yes, we may have to pass through many trials and difficulties. Yes, we will be perhaps around on that great and awful day when Jesus returns. But all will be well. No ultimate harm can come to us. We are those who belong to God. Thirdly, a bringing to glory. A bringing to glory. Verse 9, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." Here in these verses, 9 through to the end of the chapter, the Apostle John is given another vision of heaven. We saw him being given a vision of heaven back in chapter 4. But the details, or what he sees, are different this time. Last time in chapter 4, the focus was very much upon the throne and that which surrounded the throne. This time the focus is very much upon God's people, God's servants, those who have been redeemed by the Lamb. In more recent history, there have been some pretty impressive gatherings of people. Only this morning I showed you a slide of lots of people gathering at a rock concert. Well, at some of these outdoor rock concerts, thousands upon thousands of people gather, don't they? in order to sing. This week, whilst I was preparing, I picked up a book that I had on my shelf, which basically tells the story of the evangelist Billy Graham. The reason I picked it up was because I knew that there was a picture of him in the book preaching to over 1 million people in South Korea. Now, that's a pretty impressive number, isn't it? That, I believe, was the largest number of people that he ever preached to in one place. An impressive gathering, but that gathering, or such gatherings, don't even compare with this great multitude, do they? Let me very quickly point out a few things about those who gather around the throne of God in heaven. We see that they wear white robes. Why do they wear white robes? Because their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They wave palm branches, symbolic of joy and triumph. You see, they have triumphed in Jesus. And their days of trial and difficulty or tribulation are over. Every tear has been wiped from their eyes. If you look at verse 14, you will see that it speaks about they who have come out of the great tribulation. Well, it may be that there is a time of intense tribulation immediately before the return of Christ, but I understand the great tribulation to amount to the time that Christians suffer in the last days. All Christians come out of this period of time. This period of tribulation, of trial, of difficulty, of persecution. So friends, Christians can expect, as we've seen over recent weeks, to face trials and difficulties of one kind or another. And sometimes they may wonder whether they are going to survive. Imagine being in North Korea tonight as a Christian. Imagine being in China tonight as a Christian. Imagine being in northern Nigeria tonight as a Christian. How are we going to survive all of this? But you see, the Christian has been sealed. God has put his mark of ownership upon every single believer, and thus he or she shall be kept or protected and eventually ushered into the glory, the wonder of heaven itself. And so I think that this chapter is an incredibly encouraging passage for us as Christians. Well, that's all I'm going to say this evening. Next week, God willing, we'll move on to chapter 8. I'm not sure whether we'll deal with chapter 8 and 9 together. We'll see how it goes. But I'm going to conclude there and hand back over to Laurie. Thank you, Laurie.